been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. How is it going? Thank you for joining us on The Call. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. You might be using a lot of them because I don't know about you guys, but I am not a fan of the new podcast app on iOS 9 on my iPhone. So I'm checking out a bunch of different places where I can listen to myself. Joining me, and he's going to be helping me out, taking me off of that proverbial fan ledge that all the Baltimore Raven fans are on right now. Josh, what's going on, man?
What ledge? I don't know what ledge you're talking about.
All right, well, let's talk about the mood in Baltimore right now then, because I don't know about you. Everyone I talk to, it's as if the season is over. The Ravens are done for. Everyone's looking onto the draft now.
Let me put it to you this way. I laugh because apparently, first off, I hate fair weather fans. You already know the bandies, as we say, because they're already talking doom and gloom. We're done. You would think that Baltimore has never won a title, and we've had a losing season since 96. It is freaking hilarious. Like, I am laughing. I mean, you might say, Josh, why are you so jovial? Why are you so relaxed? I might put off the persona as Joe Cool right now. It's like, oh, we're fine. Everything's fine. But here's the problem. Again, you can't go off by what other teams have done. You can't go off by what has happened in the past. I've heard it all. Ravens have 11% chance of making the playoffs. It's a must-win game on Sunday, blah, blah, blah. They got to start winning now. Yeah, they put themselves in a hole. But here's the thing. It's week three right now. Week three. Wait till they lose on Sunday, or, you know, if. I want to say wait till they lose, but let's say, okay, wait till if the Bengals beat us on Sunday, then we can start talking doom and gloom, or wait till we're 0-3 or 0-4 after a Thursday night in Pittsburgh, then we can start talking. Okay, yeah, there we go. But until we win a game, you can't write it off. And I posted this today per the Baltimore Sun, and it is a fact. The Colts, who lost last night, there's a lot of 0-2 teams that we can start right off the board with that. The Colts were at home on a Monday night football game against the New York Jets. The Colts did not score until halfway through the fourth quarter at home on national TV Monday night. The Jets beat them 20-7. The New York Jets, okay, listen, Brandon, the New York Jets are 2-0, okay? The Colts are 0-2, so are the Ravens. The Colts, speaking of them last year, they started 0-2. They lost to the Broncos, and they lost to the Eagles. They went on to win 5 straight football games. They made it to the AFC title game against New England last year. Don't write them off. I would love to talk to a Colts fan last year at 0-2. Were they panicking? Probably some were. Probably some weren't. But my point is here, in all that being said, I am not panicking. The season's not over. People calm down. The Ravens have to win, and this is a must. They can go no worse than 2 out of the next 3. Granted, there's 3 straight divisional games, 2 at home.
Mm-hmm.
The first home game is this Sunday against the Bengals. So basically they have to – I can see this now. I hate to say this. I'm going to start it right off the bat. They have 2 home games and away game in Thursday night at Pittsburgh on a short week next week, a week from Thursday, October 1st. I see the Ravens beating – I'm not going to put my score prediction out there, but I see the Ravens winning on Sunday in desperation fashion. They lose to the Steelers and win against the Browns at home. So they win their next 2 home games. That's 2-1. That puts them at 3-2. They need to be at that mark or even better, and sweeping all 3 games even have a chance. I say they lose one. If they lose 2 out of the next 3 games, they're done for, because that puts them at 1-4 for the season in the first 5 games with 2 divisional losses. You're not coming back from that. You pretty much have to win out to even have a chance. If we were to lose on Sunday, that's an 0-3 mark. That's 3 losses. You pretty much have to go 10-3 the rest of the season to make it to a 10-6 mark. And I don't even think it's possible, because there's a lot of teams in AFC albeit the Broncos 2-0, the Jets 2-0, the Patriots 2-0. There's a lot of teams ahead of us right now that it just gets difficult. But winning division's easy if we can win next two out of three. I'm not panicking. I'm not panicking as a season as a whole because you got to take it one game at a time, Brandon. But with all that being said, I want to really hear your thoughts. What were your thoughts during this game, as ugly as it was?
All right. Well, speaking of how ugly it was, I know that the Ravens started off in Memorial Stadium and the Colts, they played in Memorial Stadium. But just aesthetically looking onto the TV, I couldn't stand watching the game being played on a baseball diamond. That was really weird to me. I feel as if it did affect the game a little bit because, you know, it wasn't that turf that those guys are used to. But besides the look of the actual stadium in the game, I want to talk about the actual players here. This is a good Ravens team. We just need both sides of the ball to play good on the same week, because what we saw, saw in the last 2 weeks, we saw the offense look pretty good. The first week, you know, they were able to get down the field, make some good plays. The defense this week, though, looked atrocious. I mean, Terrell Suggs, losing him, yeah, that's a terrible thing, but these guys were just playing completely undisciplined football. You had Jimmy Smith taking personal foul penalties. You got Timmy Jernigan making stupid plays, just giving away yards. What I saw, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and I want to get to the offense later. I want to stick on the defense side for right now. But on the defensive side of the ball, this team lacked anything. They lacked gumption to make plays. Lardarius Webb looked like trash out there. He didn't look good in any way. There was people just taking stupid penalties. They didn't know what they were doing. They were up against a sophomore year quarterback for the Raiders, and that guy just tromped all over our defense. Our defense was supposed to be these big guys being able to get things done. They didn't get a thing done. The defense, like, it looked like they did not prepare for this game and were already looking on to Cincinnati. They were not ready for this game. They were taking dumb penalties, and the defense beat themselves.
I mean, you pretty much said across the board. I mean, it was just horrible all day. But my whole point is here, and even when we were down 10-0, my whole point was, as soon as I saw that, I mean, I had the positive. I kept screaming around the bar, no weapon. We're going to win this game. I was trying to bring up 2012 nostalgia and was like, hey, we can get over to this. It's 11 minutes left in the first quarter. We're fine. And obviously, it was raining true when we tied it at 10 and tied it at 17 again and tied it at 20. So it was kind of like, here we go. But my whole point is, in a week, what happened in a week? What happened in a week from we helped Peyton Manning, Emmanuel Sanders, Marius Thomas out of the end zone, C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman and a company all out of the end zone, okay? Hold them to 4 field goals, and then they had a pick 6 against us. What happened to where we forgot how to cover, we forgot how to pass rush? Is Suggs that really big of a loss? It's one player. And we lost Suggs halfway through the game two weeks ago, and apparently Jimmy Smith gets turned around, Amari Cooper gets an 80-yard touchdown. It's unbelievable. Moore Aiken forgets to hold on to the football, and before you know it, it's 10-0. It's and the whole game, the secondary just looked like it was the AFC divisional playoff game last year in New England, where they just slash and gashes, they can do everything at will. Derek Carr looked like Tom Brady. It was pretty much went back there, couldn't get touched. He looked like Peyton Manning. It was like playing. It's kind of like I expected that kind of game against the Broncos, and the Broncos game, like the Raiders game, where it should have been low scoring and close, and we kept them out of the end zone and we threw stupid pick 6, is kind of reversed. Not saying that we should have been 0-2 in the first place, but the way the games were played were first. I expected the Ravens to play like that in the secondary and not to cover their receivers, Peyton Manning have his field day. What happened with the secondary to forget how to cover? It's unbelievable. How do you go from allowing 0 offensive touchdowns against the Broncos to a week later against a team – and I'm not saying it's disrespect to Raiders. It's talent. It's the NFL, Brandon. We all know that. But the Cincinnati Bengals played them there a week prior, opening day. The Raiders did not cross midfield. Just get this. Just take this in for a minute. The Raiders did not cross midfield until the fourth quarter. It was 33-0, and they got 2 garbage time touchdowns because of that. How does a team go from not crossing midfield at all – getting in their enemy territory in the fourth quarter to second, first play, I don't know what play of the game it was, an 80-yard bomb, and the Ravens forget how to cover. It's just ridiculous. And I'm sick and tired of – I mean, again, we all play Monday morning quarterbacks, armchair head coaches. But when you see 10 and 12, 14-year-olds playing Madden, dial up better plays than what's been called on defense, I don't get it. When it's third down, I'm telling you right now, Brandon, I'm not a football coach. I'm not putting myself in that position. I'm not putting myself higher and holier than thou because I don't know any better. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If it's third down in any situation, there's going to be a blitz. I'd rather get beat man-to-man coverage on the outside with the receivers than sit back and get a three-man rush, 7-8 back zone, and let them pick us apart. That's uncalled for. Why on the final drive are we just sitting back and playing 10, 15 yards off the ball? I don't understand it. I would love Dean Pease to call in this show and find out and figure out why. That frustrates me to win. It's the same crap every time, Marion. And you can sense my frustration about it because I've seen it time and time again. You know, and that's just – I don't understand it. It's I don't understand that. And then I missed this apparently, but I don't know if you saw it, Brandon. Apparently, my dad said he saw it. I questioned the Ravens' play calling when the second to the final drive where they had the ball. It was 2 minutes. They could have ran the clock out and pretty much – instead of that, they had a pass on second down beyond be in front of the 2 minute warning, and apparently Harbaugh gave Pressman a sharp look like, "What are you doing?" And I missed that. Did you see that?
Oh well, that's where I was going to lead to next. So let's just jump onto that right now.
I missed it.
Mark Pressman, this is his second game as a Raven. I know you really can't – I don't know what to say. You really can't judge his work so far or what he's done with this offense. But let's start off with that last play that he was doing. So I'm watching the game with my buddy and my godson. My godson's 2 years old. This is a cool story, a little side note here. They're not my buddy is not a football fan in any way. He doesn't watch it at all. He never got into it as a kid, didn't get into it growing up, whatever. But I was over his house with my godson during one of the preseason games, and I was watching it, and I had my godson like on my knee, and I was telling him, like, all right, that's Joe Flacco, this is here, whatever. And he throws a touchdown to Steve Smith, and I start screaming, touchdown, everything. And my godson just looks at the TV and just goes, more. So I'm like, oh, dude, we got a Ravens fan on our hand. How cool is that? So he came over my house, and we watched the game, and I was showing my godson, and like, he's two, so he's not watching the whole thing. But I'm showing him, like, who this player is and what this person's doing and what a throw is and what a touchdown is and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so I'm explaining on this last drive. The Ravens, you know, they were up. I don't know what the score was, but I was like, all right, look, there's 2.5 minutes left. What you do is you run out the clock here, all right? You don't want to stop the clock for any reason. You don't want to do any of that. You just want to run out the clock and just get to that first down, and that's what you got to do. The second I say that, Mark Trestman decides to call a pass. Joe Flacco throws that pass, and I think it's Gilmore goes out, and the clock stops. They cut to Harbaugh, and Harbaugh is, like, bent over. He's got his hands on his knees, looking down, shaking his head, because he knows right now the offensive coordinator screwed up big time. You're ruining the complete momentum of the game here. So then Flacco, I think they have to call a timeout because Flacco's not ready to go or whatever. So he comes over and talks to Trestman, and then you see Harbaugh. He's got that mean mug on his face, you know. He is ticked off. It was like that halftime report that we talked about a couple weeks ago where, you know, right, Harbaugh was given those really short answers for those questions from the reporter. He comes over to Trestman, and he's got fire in his eyes, and he's just like – he's screaming at him like, what are you doing? Why did you just call that? That makes no sense. You see, Harbaugh was ticked off, and he should have been, because that's poor clock management, which shows you're not that good of an offensive coordinator. But here's the other thing that I want to bring up. Mark Trestman's had this team now for 2 weeks. He's practiced over the summer or whatever. He has to know. Like you said, we are not coaches. We are not players. We are not a part of the NFL. I'm a fan first and foremost who talks about it on a podcast with his buddy. But I know Joe Flacco likes to do the shotgun plays. He likes to keep things quick. He likes to get into a routine of things. Like, if you give Joe Flacco, you know, 2 minutes or whatever, he knows what to do. He knows how to run out the clock. He knows what he's got to do to get down the field, get that touchdown, while still, you know, running the clock down. But for you to call a pass like that, you know that's going to stop the clock. You know it's going to frustrate Joe. You know it's going to break up the rhythm then you're messing with what the guy is used to and what he likes. How do you not know your offense that much to do those kind of plays at the tail end of the game? I'm just a fan saying this. He's the offensive coordinator doing this for a living. How do you not know how to work the clock? How do you not know your quarterback? How are you not watching this game? I don't get it. Mark Trestman right now is a giant question mark to me, and I don't know what he's doing with his offense. And I don't want to get Cam Cameron back in here, but Mark Trestman, you got to show me something more than what you got the last 2 weeks, because I am not impressed at all. I feel like you didn't do your homework.
I feel like that too, and it's kind of like, it reminds me of like, hey, if we lose on Sunday, is he going to get fired 3 weeks in the season? I mean, we fired Cam towards the end of the Super Bowl year, and look what happened. So it's kind of like, I even joked that, say, watch, we're going to have a firing, or Jared Harbaugh is going to take over play calling. I don't know, but I mean, maybe it's all speculation at this point, but it's like, you're right. Like, we as fans, it's like, yeah, we're not these, you know, we're not educated in football, but it's common sense. It's, you know, you run the ball. It's like 3rd and 1. I saw the Colts do it last night. When it's 3rd and 1, they threw the ball 20 yards down the field. It was incomplete. I'm like, okay, you have this running back. You got a fullback. It's like, keep it simple, stupid. It's like 3rd and 1. I need a first down. Why are you going to chuck it 20 yards down the field? I seen it last night. It's not only the Ravens, but it just seems like across the NFL, they just don't call. The coordinators just don't call the right plays in right situations. Like, it's 3rd down, you put pressure. If it's 3rd and 1, you run the ball. Seahawks, if you're on the 1-yard line about to win the Super Bowl, don't throw it. I mean, it's just those kind of things. And obviously, you've seen what it cost them. It cost them a championship. So, it's just keep it simple, stupid. And how often are we still talking about that Seahawks play? You know, how often are we talking about and you can go back. I forget what Super Bowl this is. Correct me on that. But it's the same thing. Remember the Cardinals driving down the end of – in the end of the first half against the Steelers in Super Bowl, Kurt Warner throws it. James Harrison picks it off, runs all the way back. You're at the goal line. Why don't you just run the football? Keep it simple. It's across the NFL, it happens too far too often, and it's been happening for years. So, and coordinators, yeah, they get fired and they're overturned because you don't see the same coordinator in the position for 2-3 years at a time. But, Brandon, it's got to stop, you know, on both sides of the football. But you're right. Going back to a point you said, you have to keep the game balanced. You know, the offense couldn't find its footing in the first game. Defense was phenomenal. Now, the offense actually scored and kept pace with the scoring. They were down 10, they were down 7, and they were down 3, and they kept pace. And now defense couldn't find it. So, yeah, is there a game we're going to have offense and defense on the same page? That's where you win most of your games. But it's about making plays, and right now they're not. And apart from the discipline, stupid penalties, Webb needs to go. His knees are done. He's playing 15 yards off the ball. It's got to stop. I mean – but it was embarrassing. You stop Emmanuel Sanders, you stop Demaryius Thomas, you stop Peyton Manning. We've seen what they're capable of on Thursday Night Football against the Chiefs. Then you allow Michael Crabtree and the rookie Amari Cooper, not taken away from their talents, but you let them just have a field day, and it's just uncalled for. And I don't care what Will Hill says or anybody's defending that hold, or they shouldn't have taken away the interception, but I think it was a hold. You can't put yourself in that position. You know, you got to defend. There's far too many penalties still. They need to keep it under control. But no pass rush again, and it all equates to a big loss, and it was bad.
It was definitely bad. Let's talk about this this new guy, Jason Babin. Where was he on Sunday? He didn't play at all.
Jason Babin. Yeah.
why do you feel as if they kept him off the field because he was signed, Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that? Did he just not know the playbook yet? Were they giving him time to adjust to being a Raven? What was the deal with that? Why didn't we see him on Sunday?
I'll like your answer. We'll go with that one because I honestly don't know, and I'm scratching my head about that because I said as soon as the third game, where's Babin? You signed him this week, but I think that you're right on that. It's pretty much, yes, get acclimated, really, and have a full week of practice, and they're going to thrust him right. It's almost like signing a guy Saturday night and go, okay, suit up, you're ready to play 4 quarters. It's, I think he had to really get his physical attributes back and get a good week in practice. So I think obviously we'll see him starting on Sunday. Very easy to say, but this game was bad. Two times, and again, I'm not putting the game on Flacco. I'm not putting the game on anybody. This is a bad team, overall team performance. But here's the thing. The offense scores 33 points. They finally woke up. You got to score a touchdown there to put it away. I was like, the the whole time they were driving, I'm like, put the nail in the coffin. Let's put these guys on ice. Put them away. Both games, Flacco and the offense, put them in position to win. So for all those Flacco people, Flacco haters, Flacco bandwagoners or whatever, stop blaming them. I put a guy in his place this week about that. He's trying to argue with me about it. And I'm like, I just made him look stupid. And obviously his response was, I basically won because he had no response coming back to him. Where don't put the onus on Flacco. Every time we lose, it's not Flacco's fault. It's getting on my nerves. He put the team in position to win both games. Yes, Steve Smith's got to catch those. If he had his feet in balance, he would have had a touchdown. But then again, you know, coming down in the Denver game, it hit him in the face mask. He had to jump up. Steve Smith's there making plays. He had a monster game. He had, I think, 150 yards receiving, and he could have had a couple touchdowns. He had a couple of good sideline passes that were completions, and the one was overturned. So,
well, let me hold on real quick. I mean, I keep going with your Flacco point, but let me ask you a question real quick about Steve Smith. I love Steve Smith. I love what he brings to this team. Like you said, he's breaking his own records and everything with what he does. Is it a bad thing that he's getting all of those plays? He's getting stuff done. Don't get me wrong, but like, where is Kamar Aiken, Marlon Brown, and all those other guys? Because as much as I love Joe Flacco to Steve Smith, it's just like the old, what was it, Brady to Moss, you know? But if you take Steve Smith out of the equation, where's everybody else at? Because if it's either Mark Trestman saying throw it to Steve Smith, or if it's Joe deciding that, are they becoming too dependent on him and not giving the other guys enough of a shot to catch a ball? Or are the other guys just not good enough and they don't trust them? Like, where do you think?
It's a combination of both there, but because you can't really always go to Steve Smith, because okay on that, and then it shows not distrust in the other receivers. Like, well, you can't catch the ball, we're going to our boy Steve. I mean, but Aiken, apart from the bonehead fumble, he had a decent game. I think he almost had 100 yards receiving. Mm-hmm. He had the one good game, and who had a big breakout game, especially on my fantasy team, was Crockett Gilmore, man. Yeah. How about that?
Crockett Gilmore looked great. Game.
Oh, that looked great. He was binging. He was banging his way to the end zone, making plays. That was like vintage Dennis Pitta and Todd Heat, man. It's just, we got another great tight end. I'm not worried about that. He finally broke out. Again, two touchdowns. What a performance. But you're right. We need more playmakers. It just really sucks on offense that we don't have that. And here's another thing I want to bring up, too. Especially on the pass play, didn't we see in the Super Bowl – where Joe Flacco had a 3rd-and-1, and it was a gamble throw, but it worked. You can watch it time again. Joe Flacco called audible on 3rd-and-1 Super Bowl, threw it up Bolden on the sidelines, and he made the catch. Big ballsy first down, right there. But that's the way a leader's got to do it. And Joe Flacco's in his 7th, 8th year right now.
Yeah,
he's got to know to call an audible and not listen to the coaches. And I'm not saying I'm putting that on Joe, but you have to get smart. Go. Know what? That pass play don't make it. I'm going to go to the line and call an audible and run the football. And then we get the first down. Then you look like the hero and say, hey, I've seen it on NFL films. I've seen it on the America's Game. Joe Flacco was sitting on the sidelines, basically arguing with Ken Cameron at the time when he was employed here and saying, in order to win a Super Bowl, we can't play like this. That was Joe Flacco quoted on America's Game, 2012 Ravens. He's even said that. You know, you got to play a certain way. And we've seen Joe do it. It's, maybe he was just like, okay, going through the motions, but I don't know what that part of the game entails. But I say he's got to take the reins and be a leader and call audibles like Peyton would. Peyton heard a play, he'd probably be like, nope, we're running this, and this is how it's going to work. And if it works, great. But I think what separates the elite from the good is the ability to take over a game like that and go, you know what, no, I'm going to call this in this situation because this is what it calls for, and I'm going to be the coordinator because I'm out there under center. You're not. So I think that's what has to happen, but overall, puts them in the Ravens at 0-2 position, 11% chance to make the playoffs. Obviously, I'm not saying the last playoff team or the last 0-2 team to make the playoffs. Obviously, was the Colts last year, but the last 0-2 team to not only make the playoffs but win the whole thing. 2007 Giants started 0-2. With all that being said in review, the season's not lost. They got to win and got to win now and start winning football games because they did put themselves in a big hole at 0-2. And who knows, this might be the time where we might be losing a few games and not make the playoffs and might be a rebuilding year. we shall see what happens, but it's got to start in Cincinnati. Three divisional games, two of them are at home coming up. This is our homecoming. We need our fans out there strong. Don't want any stupid fans selling tickets. We need the stadium packed. It's our home opener. I really can't wait to get down there, but we need to win and win now.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a good way to end the show this week. Before we get out of here, last bit of Ravens news. Did you hear what Donald Trump's opinion of Flacco was?
Yeah, he's very elite.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. Donald Trump was taking questions on Twitter, and somebody says, is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback? And Donald Trump, I think, agrees with us and says, yeah, he is. He's won a Super Bowl. He's got a great arm. Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback. So,
you know what he's trying to do? It's a good plug in, obviously, the businessman, you know, to earn votes. But you know what's really funny, though, is not only that, but it's been coming up in the political talks. You remember that Joe Flacco elite quarterback sign in the background on MSNBC? It's kind of funny how some random reason Flacco keeps coming up. So not Tom Brady, not Peyton Manning. Well, obviously Tom Brady because he's now, but like not Ben Roethlisberger. It's Joe Flacco. So I find it really funny that Flacco's name keeps coming up in the media, not the other guys. So hey, like it or not, haters out there, it's out there. So you can debate all you want, but I'm actually staring at Joe Flacco raising the Super Bowl trophy, so I can just snap you all the picture and just say, have a nice day. He actually touched it.
Whether you like Donald Trump or not, I think as a Ravens Nation worldwide, we can all agree everyone loves Joe Flacco. He is an elite quarterback.
Absolutely.
And like you said, as we were talking here, he just has to show it a little bit more. I completely agree with you that maybe he does have to speak up a little bit more and call out some audibles while he's on the field if something looks different or whatever. But Joe's here to stay, and Joe's a good quarterback. He's an elite quarterback, and I'll fight you on that, anybody who wants to say otherwise. But if you want to talk to us a little bit more before our Purple Friday preview show, let us know what you think of Joe Flacco. Is he an elite quarterback or not? You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always find me in my famous tweets at Italian GQ52.
That's right. And if you ever want to know what's going on in any sort of sports game at all as it's on TV, follow Josh, because I don't think there's any sport that he doesn't cover on Twitter. He is constantly.
There was a crazy game on Saturday night. The Alabama game was nuts.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, I'm always tweeting about something.
You were talking about football for Monday Night Raw. I couldn't believe you weren't watching Monday Night Raw instead of the indie game, the indie Jets.
Yeah, I missed it. Did I miss Cena doing something? Because apparently everybody was saying Cena something. So
well, Cena wins no matter what. So
well, of course. Here's the thing. You know, it's WWE Network. I almost said NFL Network. I know you can watch them anytime. And you know, it's not like I can go on demand and rewatch Monday Night Football. And football season only comes so often. Obviously, it's so short. I mean, we're already going into the end of September. We're in week 3 of the NFL. I mean, before you know, it's going to be week 16, and we're going to be like, really? It's the season finale. It goes quick, and I'm a big football fan, and I just love watching football, especially, you know, obviously with my fantasy. I like sitting there watching it. But, I did watch it overall, but I did catch the Gotham premiere. That was great. I was so excited to see Gotham back. So I'm a big Batman fan. Everybody knows that. I haven't checked out Gotham season 2. Just started. Go check on season 1 to Gotham. It is incredible. But anyway, he has the good plug-in for the Gotham series. But I chose Monday Night Football over that. Of course, anytime. Yeah. Thursday Night Football is coming up too. Can't wait.
Absolutely. And I got to get you into Lucha Underground. They just announced they're doing a season 2 of that. And man, that's some of the best wrestling on TV. I gotta show you that one day. But anyway. Everybody, stay in contact with us. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. We are always constantly posting. Josh is doing it all the time, sometimes at 2 in the morning. Who knows? Always posting up cool videos, still cool stuff from Ray Lewis. You know, Russell Street Report's a great website if you're a Ravens fan. We post up some of their stuff. So really, it's all over the place. You're constantly getting Ravens news whenever you want it over on our Facebook page. You can also go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Guess what, guys? Hockey season is starting. So you know how we were talking about bandwagon fans and them jumping off the bandwagon? If you want to jump onto the Capitals bandwagon, I do a podcast about them too. It's called What the Puck, and you can listen to that if you want.
I think we said that all day on Sunday.
Right. That's probably true. So... You guys can check that out. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need from Brando Cash Entertainment. Now, what we need you guys to do, as we say at every single show, we need you to help spread the word about The Call. Whenever you are social on the web, do your best. Share our shows. Tweet to us. Tweet to your friends. Tell them everything you got to know. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call 3 times a week. That's right, 3 free shows a week, and you should be listening as well. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. So whenever you guys want to check us out, there are plenty ways to do it. So I think that's it for the Red Eye Review this week. Josh, take us out. Get us ready for Purple Friday the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And guys, I know it's dismal. 0-2, it really sucks. We want to wish our guys the best, play the best every Sunday, every Thursday, every Monday they do. But here's the reality of it, they are 0-2. We just got rid of that. It was a garbage game, but here's the thing. Moving on, we have 3 straight division games. It's our homecoming, guys. Got to get excited. We finally got football back in Baltimore for the first time this year since the preseason. It's real football. It counts this time. So I'm ready for our first win, and we're ready to preview this game against those bungles of the Natty, and I can't wait to get it started. But with that being said, let's just get rid of it, and we know the Raiders, they gave us fits, but let's just get rid of it, guys. It's going to be okay. So that being said, we're going to get ready for Purple Friday. Guys, let's fly high till we get to that Purple Friday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.